John?
Oh, hey, Drew.
Hey, could you come back to my office for a second?
Oh, yep. Thanks. Let me put this cheddar down.
All right.
What's up?
This is somewhat awkward. As you know, we do inventory every night.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, we check all the cheese buckets and make sure that the levels are where they should be in terms of what kind of sales we've had that night.
Uh-huh.
You know, and... I'll just put it out there. The Limburger levels are sort of absurdly low. We're pretty sure someone's taking that cheese.
Whoa.
Do you have anything you want to say before I continue?
All right. Can I go? Okay, I'll go. Bye.
You're fired.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Ourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time. We were talking about it again.
We're back. We're back to work. We're back to work.
Yeah.
Boys, we're back to work.
Is that a song?
No.
we should like have some kind of door hanger that says that for when we're recording.
Oh, back to work?
The boys are back to work.
Where would we hang it? We don't have any.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have a door.
On
we
your
don't
front
have a studio door.
Door.
Yeah.
Hang it on your front door.
So the mailman shows up. He'll feel
like, okay. What? Oh, good.
We are back to talking about work.
Yeah.
Past experiences of work.
Yeah.
Specifically part-time work.
Yeah.
Part-time gigs
of
the past. Past part-time. Past participle.
Nice. Thank you. I was going to say it if you weren't.
And I know.
Past part-timeacible.
Good. That's good. I did want to bring something up as sort of a catch-up item, if you will. And
ketchup.
That is ketchup. I did. This never was broached in the first episode, but sort of the inspiration for this whole topic came from an article. I think it was in Wired earlier this year, or late last year. It was one of their writers talking about the time that in the 90s when he worked at a Babbage's store in the mall, and it was like his first job. And it was like a really, really good article about all the experiences he had there and like the sort of the downsides of working in the mall and then the upsides of working in the mall and all that.
You could relate to it.
I could.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can sort of relate to it as well, at least in this particular...
The industry.
Yeah. Because you, after slinging custard...
Sort of during,
Oh, wow. That was concurrent?
Well, Fritz's was not open all year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's frozen custard, so there wasn't much of a demand for it during the holiday season, like winter. So the store would close in November, I think, and it would be closed until about March.
Okay.
So in that off time, I would have to get a seasonal job. Mm. And I think the first seasonal job I got was Star Video.
Nice.
Which I've talked about before.
Right.
But then the second one, I believe, was Funko Land.
Funko Land.
Yeah. Which I don't think exists anymore as Funko Land.
Yeah. It was bought up.
It was bought by GameStop, I think.
GameStop bought everything, didn't they?
Seem to have.
They?
Did they buy EB Games?
I think so.
Yeah.
Bought everything.
So Funko Land was a video game store.
Yeah.
And they sold used and new
and
video
I think
games.
And they were like the first solely video game store, I think. Like chain.
Really?
I feel like they were. Because Babbage's was initially, it was like computer software.
Okay.
And then they also had games. And then, you know, once...
You had software, et cetera, which is probably a lot like right. Babbage's.
Same type of thing, yeah. And eventually, those all switched over to basically yeah. just being video games,
you might
console
be,
video games. But I think
right.
Funko Land was maybe the first
the
one
big,
to do that.
Like the first sort of chain.
Yeah.
So I, you know, the off-season came around, and me and a friend, we both went and applied at Funko Land. And he did not get called back.
Oh.
But I did. Oh. I got the call back. We had a moment, me and whoever worked at Funko Land at the time. So it was an interesting, I don't know why the interview kind of sticks out in my head, but I went in for the interview, you know, and they take you into the back of the room. And it's this particular Funko Land. And I imagine all of them were kind of like this, wasn't like a strip mall.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, there's this tiny back room, back office kind of thing. And the manager took me back there and, you know, conducted the interview. And I remember she said, she was like, what are your plans, you know, career plans? Where do you see yourself mm-hmm. in, you know, 10 years or whatever?
And you were like, having your job, lady.
At the time, I was like, what a weird question. Like, this is a part. I mean, she knows I'm interviewing for the seasonal position.
Right. You're not planning to stick
yeah.
around.
And B, like, I'm like, how old was that? I was like 16 or 17 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why are you asking me this?
What are you, my advisor?
Yeah. And so I was honest. I said, I would kind of like to write, you know, for a living. She's like, oh, what kind of stuff? And I said, well, you know, like I'd like to do creative writing, but it's hard to make a living off that. So maybe, you know, journalism, like, and I'm sure because I was sitting there in Funko Land, I was like it might be fun to write, you know, video game reviews or write for a magazine, like, trying to think what was out at the time.
Like Nintendo Power or Game Pro?
PSM or Game Pro. That's the one. Yeah. That's Game Pro. And she latched onto that, and she was like, oh, well, you know, Funko Land we have our own magazine, Game Informer.
Ooh.
So, you know, this could be a path. This job could be a path to working on that magazine.
Man, she was really trying to sell you
on
this gig.
In my head, I made the face that you just made of incredulity. Like, no. I seriously doubt that.
You could, I guess.
I mean, I guess, yeah, yes. If I, like, you know, kept working at Funko Land while I got my degree in journalism.
Yeah.
And then...
Was she one of those people? Let me ask you if you encountered this, like in retail management,
mm-hmm.
I find like you have two different kinds of people. You have the people who are sort of down to earth,
yeah,
regular people,
yeah,
and then you have the people who are sort of like zealots for
the
cause or the
yeah.
company. You know, was she a zealot? Was she a Funko zealot?
Maybe. I mean, she wasn't oppressive or like, you know, like preaching the Funko Bible or anything.
Right.
But she was, I think she was invested, you know. There were two managers there that I remember, and she was the better of the two in terms of like being around.
Mm-hmm.
So she asks, she says that nonsense, and I'm like, cool. And it was weird. Like, it's funny, you just pointed out, and I didn't even think about this. Like, it seemed like she wanted me to have the job more than I wanted the job.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the interview, she's like, well, part of our interview is that you play a video game. Like, you get to play a game in the store.
Which, that's the kind of thing, like, when you're looking forward to this as a possibility, you're
yeah.
like, oh, man, I'd love to play video games,
yeah.
you know, in the store, you know? I feel like in that scenario, though, when they tell you, like, okay, now you got to play a video game, it's like you. I would have, like, performance anxiety.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really
like, are
strange.
They going to judge my choice of game, or are they going to judge my play?
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
Well, she's like, so pick a video game and we'll get you set up. And like, not only is it weird, like, for the reasons you just said, but also, like, I'm going to be out in the store just playing. I don't really like doing that in general.
Yeah.
Like at video game stores or department stores. I don't like to stand and play at the display.
Like a
consoles.
Demo game. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless it's something that I'm like probably never going to touch, you know? So I was like, I guess do you guys have the new F-Zero game? She's like, yeah, I'll get you set up. And so I played, and there was no, like, you know, you'll play for 10 minutes or what.
Oh,
like, I was,
man,
like, how long do I
horrible.
Sit here?
Yeah, how long do you do
and
it?
And I can't remember how long I played, but I was like, I have no idea, like, what's the acceptable, you know, I'm sure if I stop too soon, that would, you know,
then they'd be like,
bad.
Oh, this kid doesn't like video games. Yeah, he's full of crap.
And so I played for, I'm sure, what I thought was the right amount of time. And, like, she left me to it. I mean, that's the thing, like.
So you didn't have, like, a Nick Arcade guy standing over you
no,
being like,
no.
You have got to finish F-Zero.
I wish. Yeah, no, they just left me to it. And at that point, it was like I was a customer in the store, you know?
Oh, that's weird.
And so then I.
Didn't you just, like, turn around and walk? And just
well,
like, okay,
I went
thanks, bye.
Her. I was like, okay, I guess I'm done playing. And I think she said, okay, well, you know, we'll let you know if you have the position. And I did. I got the job. And, you know.
She wanted you to write for the magazine.
They called me, like, we have a deadline.
What if there's, like, a bonus or something attached to that? Like, what have you found out now that, like, that was the whole thing?
Right.
Like, you know, she would get, like, some sort of annual bonus if, like, she got you to write for the magazine. That was the only reason
right.
that you got the job.
She's like, oh, this kid's, he wants it.
This is my ticket
yeah.
to an extra $350.
See ya. She calls me. It's like, all right, there's a deadline this Friday night. We need you to review F-Zero. I'm really glad you played that. Because we need a review. How many... how many
Funko stars
how many power-ups out of 10 would you give F-Zero? 5. It wasn't that good.
Drop and roll, I'll jump in the swimming hole so I can hear your cheers. I've seen all the episodes, I know all the secret codes to where I go. I don't need roads, I'm flying.
Got the job. I was really excited, you know, for the exact reason that you stated.
Yeah.
Where you think going into this, you're like, I'm gonna play video games all day. I'm gonna be around video games all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, and you're like in a position of authority.
Yeah,
too,
and
you
I'm
know?
Gonna be
like,
behind the counter and I'm gonna be around people who like video games like me, you know?
Yeah.
And those are all true statements, but they do not, the feeling of joy one expects is not really apparent. For the first day it is.
Yeah.
But then it's a job, right?
Yeah.
And, it was the case that if the store was, relatively empty, we could pop any game we wanted into any of the consoles. I mean, we could do that at any point, really. We could. It was up to us, like what were in the what were in the display cases to be played.
Hmm.
And there was one for pretty much each system in the store. And so if you wanted, you could, you know, put some game in that you wanted to try and play it. But, you know, once a customer came in or needed some help, you had to put it down, obviously.
Were you ever, like, in a situation where, like, you're playing the game and then the customer comes in, so you, like, step away and the customer comes over and, like, takes up your game and then ruins it, just completely bombs?
No, thank goodness. That never happened. I didn't even think about that contingency. That'd be terrible.
My nightmare
scenario. We had these chairs that we were... well known for at the time, they were the mom chairs.
So moms could sit.
There were two director's chairs, like at the front of the store, near the window, that mom could come in and sit while, you know, their kid ran around the store like a maniac. But it was kind of amazing to me how often parents would just drop their kids off at the store and leave them.
Oh, yeah.
And it probably is because we were in a strip mall, and, like, they were going elsewhere in the mall, the strip mall. And so they're like, you go hang. Because I can remember being a kid and, like, my mom letting me go into the comic store while she's in some other store in the same complex.
But and when you're a kid, that's the greatest.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But when you're the one working, it's like, oh, God, this kid. Because, you know, they're just there to play the games.
Yeah.
And one thing about these games being on all day is that they didn't function very well.
Mm.
And so we're constantly having to go and service them in some form or another, especially the old, like, we had an NES that, you know, you could play. And just like, you know, when you had one in the 80s, like, it constantly needs to be, like, messed with, or the cartridge needs to be jiggled, or people would always, like, everyone loved to be like, oh, you blow on the thing, right? And we were coached to say, well, actually, while that does work, you're causing corrosion to set in by getting your saliva on the contacts. I don't know if that's true.
Sounds good.
But the thing is, Funko Land sold cleaners.
The cleaning kit, yeah.
Cleaning kits. And we were told to upsell these things, and we got commission for selling them. You did everything you could to sell those things. And so anytime you went to service a machine, invariably you were using a cleaning kit. And we had one for each system, you know. And
people
so
people like, what you doing there? What is that? Why don't you just blow on it?
Oh, and you know, you would... Like, someone would buy a system, because we sold refurbished systems, and you'd say, would you like to buy a cleaning kit? And usually, if it was a parent, a lot of times they would. And then you'd say, would you like me to show you how they work, how to use the cleaning kit? And a lot of times they'd say yes. So then you'd have to go demo the cleaning kit.
So you're just cleaning a an unneeding game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, I had mentioned there were two managers. So the one that interviewed me, she was the least annoying. The one who I met later was, now I know him all too well, like, because I've experienced his like over and over since meeting him. You know, like, he is... your classic sort of smug nerd.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's proud of all the wrong things, you know. And he had an encyclopedic knowledge of video games.
Of course he did.
But I remember one day he came into the store. He's wearing a jean jacket. It was kind of one of those jean jackets that has, like, the sort of fake leather sleeves.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And he walks in the store, heads to the back, and me and this other guy are working. Ben, I think, was his name. And Ben is like, hey, is that a Star Fox championship jacket? And, like, the manager turns around. He's like, yeah. And he proceeds to tell us how he won.
Oh, no.
He won this jacket at the Star Fox Championships. He was so proud. And he was, like, you know, convinced that we were both really impressed. And I think the other dude may have been kind of impressed, but I was like, I was just like, okay. I didn't know those existed. But he was kind of a dick, too, that manager. Like, he, like I said, he was the smug nerd. So anytime you were wrong about something, you know, he would give you a hard time about it and sort of talk about how stupid you were. One of the most arduous tasks, I guess there were kind of two. During store hours, you know, people would come in and want to trade in their games. Mm-hmm. And we had to test every single game. And people would bring in, like, huge
collection. Full of them.
And the only place to test them is on this machines in the store, the playable machines. Mm-hmm. So, like, someone would bring in, like, you know, a bag of Nintendo cartridges to sell and a system, and you'd have to go and make sure it all worked. Cool. So you'd have to unplug the store machine, plug in their system, and then one by one test each game.
Ugh.
And Nintendo, again, was always the trickiest because you couldn't write it off if it didn't work right away.
You had to
mess with it and see if anything, if any, you know, servicing would make it work. And so it was for, I mean, it was incredible how many games people would bring in. You just have to sit there. And there's nowhere to sit, actually. You're sitting on the floor. Like, going game, you know, through
each game.
And
they're, like, playing other games.
Yeah, they're elsewhere doing their thing.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, look around. You'd hand them a little catalog, like a price catalog for, so they'd know, if they looked through it, they would know what to expect for the games they had.
Right. But did they?
No. They were always like, oh, I only get that much for this. It's like, yeah. That's all you get. That was always a trying experience. But after hours, when we were closing, you had to do inventory. You had to count every single item in the store.
Every night?
Every night.
Oh, wow.
And so that meant counting every single game, every cartridge, every CD. And we kept, none of the games were in their cases. They were all behind the counter in, like, sleeves and stuff like that. And we had all the, at the time, I think only PlayStation was out as far as CDs go, right? And I guess Xbox was out.
I don't know if Xbox was around that early. Maybe.
I can't remember. All I remember is that one of the drawers was all PlayStation games, and it was just the CDs in sleeves. And it was, I want to say, the drawer was like maybe 4 feet wide and like 2 feet, you know, long.
Wow.
Right? Am I describing that right?
Yeah, it seems right.
And it was full of, you know, CDs stacked up against one another. So you had to sit there and file through them and count every single one.
Do you remember how many were in there?
On average? Hundreds. Oof. And you had to count more than once. I mean, you couldn't just count once.
Oh, sure. You had to verify.
Yeah. And there was always discrepancies.
Ugh.
Because it was hard to count those things. It was a lot easier.
I thought you were going
to
be like, because everybody was eating games all day long. You know?
It was a lot easier to count cartridges. Because there was like, you could clack, you know, they made the clacking noise. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of, you know, sort of walk through those a lot easier.
Yeah.
But with the sleeved, I mean, you had no way to like keep track of where you were, except that you just had to focus. Oh, man. And then you had to go through and count all the, like peripherals in the store that were in display cases or on the shelves.
Oh, like the controllers and things like
you
that.
You counted the boxes.
You counted everything in the store?
Everything.
Wow.
Every night.
What would happen if you were like missing a thousand things?
You essentially had to like note that. You had to be like, there's, you know, we should have 300 PlayStation games. We have 290. So there's 10 unaccounted for. And then the next night they'd try to account for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first, I mean, you yourself would try to find whatever's missing.
Right.
But if you can't, you essentially note it, and then it's up to the next person to sort of try and resolve that. At this point in my life, because I was working there, I bought a refurbished Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it was because they were pretty. I think it was like $50, maybe 20.
Wow,
I can't remember. But they, you know, they worked well. And I was like, I'm going to get all my old games. And it was great because I had, like, first access to all these games that were coming in sale.
The trade-ins, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember the one, like, score that I wanted was the Three Stooges game. Because I could remember playing it as a kid and being like, this is such a cool game. And it was rare. It was hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I would remember when I first started there, I asked if they ever saw them. And they said it was something that didn't really come in. But sure enough, while I was there,
you got it.
Someone brought one in for trade. And you know, we weren't supposed to like you're supposed to put it out on the rack as available. But I hid it and bought it later that night once the store closed. But I don't have it anymore.
Hmm.
I think I eventually resold all that stuff
mm-hmm.
stupidly.
Somebody else out there. Somebody at GameStop got your.
I remember we had this TV that was, you know, playing nonstop kind of commercials,
mm-hmm.
and it was like two commercials on a loop, one after the other. There was a Funko Land commercial, where like I think it was a mom brought her kid into Funko Land, and the kid was like, "This is great," and, you know, like had a great time, and then the other one was a commercial for a game. It was some Japanese game that was like, I can't remember the name of it, but it had dragons in it and stuff. And I got so sick of that commercial. I despised it. I absolutely hated it. I didn't have a problem with the Funko Land one, but that.
But you don't remember what game it was for?
Oh my God, no. Amazingly. I also was the top seller of cleaners while I was there.
My question was going to be like, at what... What at Funko Land did you excel at? Because you know, you were obviously the dipper extraordinaire.
Yeah,
at
you're right.
Fritz's,
you're right.
So.
Yeah, no, at Funko Land I could sell those cleaners, man. I guess I demoed them really well. I don't know. I
thought you're gonna be like, look, you can't walk out of here without this cleaner. I'll break your legs.
I've been wasting my life. Get a job, gonna rise up to the top, gonna make a $1 million. I'm gonna have to get a job, gonna rise up to the top, gonna make a $1 million. Oh yeah.
It was, I don't regret it, like working there. Like, it didn't sour me on video games or anything, but it certainly wasn't what I was hoping it would be, you know?
It's a shame.
It was not my Suncoast, if you will. It did not make good. Because there was one guy there that I befriended and sort of hung out with outside of work
mm-hmm.
for a period of time. But other than that, like, the people I met there that worked there just, I didn't really jive with.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it happens.
It happens, yeah.
I find that, like, for whatever reason, there is this, like, it's like a rebound effect. Where, like, when you go from one job where you make a lot of friends and you have a really good relationship with it, like, the next job is just never going to cut it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, from there, maybe you go to another job and you're like, oh, okay, this is good. I'm making friends.
This is right.
But then, you know, you have to, and in a way I've felt that way about like relationships too. Like dating, you know, like if I get into like a really serious relationship, then like when that relationship ends, like the next relationship is doomed. Like there's no way it's going to work. And then, you know, once you get past that, then you're free and clear. Like now you can have another real relationship. But then after, you know,
I,
it's the every other, it's the Star Trek movie. Yeah.
No, I agree with you because, after Funko Land, the next job after, well, yeah, no. Yeah, well, see, mine's tricky because I would essentially leave Fritz's and come back every year.
Yeah. So you, I don't know if that
it,
really counts.
It kind of works, though, because after Funko Land, I went back to Fritz's, and it was great. And then I worked at Walmart for a season that sucked. Fritz's, it was great. And then I worked for my brother, and that was awesome. But then I worked for another company, and that wasn't so great. But then the next job was awesome. But then the next job after that was even better. So your theory doesn't work for me.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Sorry. I thought it worked.
Well, it has a pretty good track record. I mean, you know.
Where did you go
like
after?
80%
accuracy. Did you go anywhere after Suncoast, or did you then enter the workforce?
I went to Borders after Suncoast.
Did you like graduate from Suncoast University?
They give you a diploma.
It's
like a film strip diploma. Yeah.
You get like, you know, was there some sort of special induction into the best job ever, Hall of Fame?
It was pretty unceremonious, the departure.
What was the departure?
Was it
the star burned too bright? I mean, what happened?
Maybe. It was a regime change, you know. Like
again,
I mentioned, you know, this new guy came in, and I tried, I stuck around for like a couple of weeks, and I remember
I'm
like
glad this new guy came in.
I tried it out, you know.
Yeah.
But in reality, I never gave him a fair chance. You know, I was like pretty much like, well, this isn't going to be as good as it was, so I should just leave. And so I did. But really, my big thing was like, well, man, my next job, I want to go someplace where I can wear jeans. Like that that was my like my driving desire in a job. This is summer of 99.
Okay.
And so I went to Borders. And Borders was terrible.
Yeah.
It obviously was not the worst job a person can have, but it was not... In terms of what you're hoping for and what you're expecting versus the delivery, like what it ends up being, that was probably the worst disappointment I've had. And it was like, part of it was because everybody there was so much older than I was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was still in college. I was 19. Yeah. Everybody else there was at least 28 or, you know, 35 or something. And so they really don't want anything to do with me.
Yeah.
And... So that was kind of challenging, and it was just like a lot of, as much as like, we had to put up with ridiculous questions and you know stupid people things.
Yeah.
At Suncoast, you know, and the mall and everything, it was 10 times worse at Borders.
Oh right.
You know, like, I would stand at the information desk, you know, and I would just. Hope that like somebody would come in and ask like a cool question or you know ask about something that I could talk about.
Uh-huh.
You know? But it was always like, "What's the new Oprah book?
Uh-huh.
When's the new Harry Potter coming out?"
Wow,
you know, it was
you
like
were there.
Five
oh, I
questions.
Guess you were there for it.
This was right around the time Prisoner of Azkaban came out.
So the fervor was not.
It wasn't
a fever
what it
pitch
became.
Yet.
Yeah,
yeah.
It wasn't like
just
midnight
started,
parties
right?
or anything like that.
That would
have
been right around the time that things were kind of starting to build.
It was just getting there. Yeah. Like when I started, when I started at Borders, I didn't know what Harry Potter was.
Yeah.
And then in the course of my time there, I got to hate it. And Oprah.
Well, I already hated Oprah at that point.
Yeah. So the worst thing that ever happened to me at Borders was I was stocking books in the religion section.
Yeah.
And I had my jeans on.
So at least that's good.
Right, yeah. Like, I can basically, like, roll out of bed and go to work.
Yeah.
And I'm good.
You're like, this is what I wanted.
That's what I'm wearing, man. Just hanging out. Working at Borders. So I had my jeans on, and I had my unwritten law.
You're mumbling that to yourself. This is it.
Hey, man. This is
I'm
it.
Hanging out on board. Wearing
yeah,
jeans.
Do you got the new book from Oprah's book club? Hey, man.
Hey, man. I'm just wearing jeans. Out, what is it?
So I'm wearing my jeans, and I'm wearing my Unwritten Law t-shirt that I got at the Warp Tour.
Wait.
And I'm, what?
You're not wearing like a Borders shirt?
No.
What?
There was no uniform or anything at Borders.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have changed, though.
I don't think so.
But you have, oh, did you have like a...
I had like a little lanyard. I had like a little name tag thing that I
did you have like a apron?
No. No.
I don't think I ever noticed that. I guess I assumed that there... Maybe I just never looked at people's...
I think the people in the cafe had an apron.
I don't think I just... I must never have paid attention.
I've never interacted with a human being at Borders.
So you had your...
I avert my eyes whenever I reach the cash register.
Yes, you know when the new Oprah book comes out.
So
maybe I also ran into you at Borders without knowing it because I just never looked.
You just wouldn't look, yeah.
And at the time, I knew
for a job.
You by that point, didn't I?
Yeah.
Would I have known you?
Your
was
voice
like a
sounds
year.
Very familiar, but unfortunately, I can't bring myself to look at you.
It would have been about a year later, right?
Yeah, actually. It was the summer after that. Yeah.
And yeah. So I'm very soon going to be meeting you, but I'd rather not see your face.
For right now, I want to build the anticipation. Just listen to your voice.
So I'm stocking
books. It's
unwritten
like
law.
Unwritten Law t-shirt. Now, this Unwritten Law t-shirt has a cool... I'll just see if I can find it. Okay. I think I've actually looked for this shirt because I really love this shirt. It had a UL. Mm-hmm. Unwritten Law is the band. Had a UL in the front with like flames coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And then on the back, it had this tombstone.
Uh-huh.
And it said... Here lies the human race.
Oh.
And lies was italicized. So yeah, there's like extra emphasis on it, right?
But do you get it?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I'm down with this, right?
No. Wait. But do you understand the double meaning?
Well, yeah.
All right.
That was... What do you think? I like the shirt. That's the... This is...
I just picture you. So you bought this at Warped Tour? You bought this at Warped Tour? Can I look at that Unwritten Law shirt, please?
Here you go.
Oh, yeah, flames. Cool.
Oh, tombstone.
Here lies. Oh, yeah, tombstone. Cool. It's like death. Here lies the human. Oh, rad. Like the whole human race is dead.
Lying right
wait,
there.
Wait a minute. Here lies. Lies.
Excuse me. Excuse me. What does this mean?
Why is that in italics? It's like a double meaning.
That's the band actually telling me that. Like,
what?
Don't you get it? The double meaning.
What? Like, what do you mean? Like, I get that the human race is dead.
Right. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but it also means, like, the human race is a bunch of liars.
You want it? It's got flames on it. Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Graves.
Awesome. Tombstone.
It's I like, love it.
How could this shirt get any better? It's got flames on it. I turn it over. Oh man, it just got better. Tombstone.
I really enjoy how excited you are. UL. Hey, what's UL stand for?
Unwritten Law.
All right. Cool. That's awesome. It's,
and
like,
it's got a tombstone on it.
Oh. Wow. Oh. Did you guys see the back of this?
Yeah. I put it on like immediately. Hey, guys, look at my back. Look at the back of my shirt.
Oh, it says something.
Here lies
the human race. Oh, you guys. Like everyone. Wait.
The whole ride home from Warped Tour is just that discussion.
Yeah.
Shut
up, John. You know, like everyone.
You get it? So I'm wearing that shirt, I walk into the religion section.
Yeah.
And I'm stocking books, minding my own business. Yeah. And these two ladies walk behind me.
Okay.
And I'm not thinking about, you know, anything.
Oh, Graves! Gladys, check this out. Here lies everyone, Gladys. They're all dead. Double. Oh, you're right.
Oh God, that would have been perfect.
So you're,
that would have been awesome.
Yeah, but instead,
what I hear them say is, "What do you think that means?" Oh, I don't know, but it's not very Christian.
Oh, I can see your feathers ruffling. Oh my God!
Yeah, I'm like, I can feel like my hair standing up.
If you were a small bird, you would have puffed up. Your feathers would have like inflated.
Oh man!
And you would have twitched, right? Back and forth on your little
like spit smoke out the side of my mouth.
Did you react?
I did, yeah. Like, I dropped the books where I was. I, like, just drop them and walk away.
Wow.
Because I was like, I'm not going to deal with this. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's actually very Christian, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a grave.
You could say
it's
that.
Like a tombstone. Was it a cross?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind. Maybe they were just mad that it wasn't in the shape of a cross.
Maybe. Or maybe they just didn't understand it. And they were frustrated.
Maybe they felt like the human race doesn't, like, they got the other meaning first.
Oh, sure.
Like, here lies the human race. Like, they're lying, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's very unchristian to lie.
Oh, my God, you're right. I've been angry at those women all these years, and you're probably right.
You
that's
can still be
thought.
Mad at them, but just for a different reason. Or you understand them more, but you can still be mad.
Yeah. Oh, I am still
mad.
Man,
that sucks.
They drove me out of there.
I don't understand.
They didn't drive
me out. So how close to you were they?
Well, like, right
like,
behind
how loud
me.
Were they?
Well, like, they were talking to each other, but, like, I mean, it was, like, as though you and I are talking right now. So, I mean, if you and I were having that conversation, anybody standing, you know, a foot in front of you would hear you.
Man.
Yeah. And there was, it's like there was anybody else around there. It was just me.
Yeah.
You know, putting books out, you know?
You drop the books. I don't need this. And you turn around. There's like another kid
who's wearing the exact
books.
Same shirt.
Oh.
And I look on the back of his shirt. Oh, Tombstone!
Oh, yeah. Were there any other like experiences like that?
Somebody, the great one. There was a big fight with the chess club.
What?
Yeah, there was like a major throwdown in the parking lot one night. After every like Tuesday night or Thursday night, there was like this chess meet in the cafe.
Okay.
So these people would come and play chess.
Was that sanctioned by Borders?
Yeah. Okay. It was like part of their events calendar or whatever. And one night,
that's weird.
Apparently some guys got into this heated discussion, took it outside, and got into a brawl. And like other people
were
got
like
involved.
They moving in chess formations. How awesome! Yeah. Like they line
attacking
up
diagonally in an L shape.
L shape, please. Like the two teams line up.
Yeah,
we
that
have enough
beautiful.
For pawns. Barry, you're a knight, not
you
a.
You can't
bishop.
Move that fast, King.
Hang on.
I didn't witness it. I don't know, but that was the end of the chess thing. They stopped doing chess nights.
So I didn't realize that Borders did that, because that to me sort of it reminds me of like hobby shops or comic shops or you know like that or game shops that would be like, you know, we're having
like a tournament type
Warhammer
thing.
Night or
yeah. They would do that. They would do like at this point I don't think they were doing the Pokemon thing, but kids would show up and trade their Pokemon cards while their parents would shop.
Oh, nice.
It was actually pretty awesome. Like,
it's like an underground system.
Network, yeah. Like they would go underneath a table.
No.
Yeah. I remember distinctly, this was a great night. I'm standing there at the information desk and I look down and underneath like the bestseller table are like three kids with binders trading Pokemon cards. That was pretty great.
The one kid's like, I know a guy at Barnes and or at Borders. He can get us in.
He's on the inside.
Yeah. He's got this awesome shirt.
It's got a tombstone. I liked working at night after we'd close.
Yeah.
Because we would have to like clean up, like put everything in order, you know, and, mm-hmm. and put books away and stuff. But at that point we could play the music as loud as we wanted to. And it was usually like, you know, everybody took turns if you were closing, like you would get to I remember playing
I know what you played.
What?
Unwritten Law.
I didn't. I don't remember that. I do remember this was the summer that Enema of the State came out. And I remember putting that on.
Nice.
And I remember like the manager going, "Is he saying he needs a girl that he can train?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, you get it?" And he's like, "Right on, man."
You're like, "Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Man.
I'm gonna go turn this off."
Way to ruin it for me, Borders.
It's understood, I said it many ways. Too scared to run, I'm too scared to stay. I said I'd leave, I can never leave her. If I did, you know I'd never cheat her. And this I ask is what I wanna know. How would you feel if I should choose to go? Another guy, you think he'd be unlike me? Another guy, you think he'd wanna fight me?
That was I remember that about Borders, the listening. You could preview music there.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I found some good stuff that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me think of Empire Records, the movie Empire Records.
Yes.
You know how they would like
one of they had the veto system. Yeah, yeah. Somebody could have one veto per day or whatever.
I picture you as Mark in that movie.
Yeah, that's
and
actually
you'd like you put Enema of the State on and you're like rocking out to you know, and going kind of nuts, and then like someone's like veto, and you're like, oh,
I was just getting going. Yeah. Are you sure you want to do that? Don't you want to wait? There was one time I remember I was always trying to like impress the music people. You know, like the people.
What a futile endeavor.
Yeah, so I was trying to impress the like record store people who worked at Borders, right?
Yeah.
And I remember like there was this one kind of rockabilly chick named Heather, I think,
to a little song called Blitzkrieg Bop. You may not have heard it.
You probably haven't. This is kind of underground.
Underground. I found it Hot Topic.
Yeah. I played Mike Ness's from Social Distortion, his solo album.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, she'd never heard it. She knew who Social Distortion was, and she knew Mike Ness and everything. And she's like, "Oh, this is kind of interesting. I kind of like it." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's pretty good, you know."
Yeah.
And the one thing you couldn't do is have something on that had like swearing in it, right?
Yeah.
And so when she asks me, like, you know, "Do you want to play something?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, play this," you know, because I'm thinking, "Oh, this is it.
This is my
chance to this is my chance to impress Heather, the rockabilly chick." Right?
Yeah.
And so she puts it on, and it's good for like three songs. And I think like in the fourth song, he like drops like a really loud F-bomb. And I remember like, I'm like putting videos away or something. And I look up, and Heather just like gives me this like horrified look.
Oh, no, you screwed up.
Yeah. Blaring over the sound system.
Wow. Oh, man. Borders, huh?
Yeah. Got out of there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I was there like 3 months.
I after Funko Land, again, this is all kind of along with Fritz's. I was at Walmart briefly. The one sort of major experience there was, because I was there really briefly. Like, I started there, and I worked in the lawn and garden area because I could be outside for a lot of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Helping with Christmas trees because it was the holiday season.
Sure.
But one day I was in there, and you know, the thing that you did when there was nothing to do was you would go and arrange stuff on the shelves.
Mm.
And so I'm in one of the aisles in lawn and garden doing that, and to my back is a display of Christmas lawn ornaments, right? and they're set up to look as though there's a lawn, you know? And
very convincingly, I'm sure.
The display is protected by this, like, plexiglass. Not plexiglass, it's like plastic, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of covering.
Like cellophane type.
Not even, it's more, it's like plastic, like rigid plastic.
Okay.
Almost like, you know, packaging nowadays that you get, like,
oh yeah, okay,
electronics in sometimes, and mm-hmm. it takes you forever to get it open, right? That yeah. kind of stuff. And I was in that aisle arranging stuff with my back to that display case, and a bit down, further down the aisle was one of my managers who was messing around with something under that display case. And over the intercom, they called his name. They were like, so-and-so, please come to the back office. And he started to curse a lot. He stood up really mad, and he punched a hole in the display.
In the plastic?
And he walked off. And I was like, what in the world just happens? But not long after that, I got mono.
From Walmart?
I don't know from what. But so I you know, was out of work for like 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I put my 2 weeks in. And then I think they let me go like immediately. They didn't even keep me on for the 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But the next sort of like job that I had, part-time job that I had for a long time, was Papa John's.
Oh, right.
Which I've discussed before, the macing.
Yes. Bikini.
The bikini that looked like underwear. That was a great job. I really enjoyed that job. And that was a job where I made friends and hung out with people outside of
mm-hmm.
the job. You know what I mean? But the best thing about that job was like the freedom, the mm-hmm. liberties one could take. You mm-hmm. know, I'm just driving around town, listening to music, listening to the radio. It was awesome.
Yeah. It was didn't really have to answer to anybody all the time.
Yeah, it was an easy job.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I got pizza. I got free pizza all the time.
That's great.
I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, I should...
Taking it up again?
Yeah. But it was really great. And I remember, I guess, I don't know if this is a widespread thing or if this is just my store, but I think it probably is broader than that. But there were a lot of pot smokers working there. And I remember the first time I sort of realized this was I was in the back of the store doing dishes. And this one dude came back and we were talking about random stuff. And like out of nowhere, he's like, "You're not a cop or anything, are you?" And I was like, "No." And he's like, "Okay, good." And he pulls out a book and he opens the book and carved into the pages.
No. He actually had a secret compartment.
Yes. Where his stash and his apparatus
excellent.
By which to engage with that stash. And he lit up right there. And I was
nice.
Like, "What the hell?" And I, you know, learned that many of the people working there engaged
while actually
yeah,
at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess it makes the shift go by a little
yeah,
easier.
I guess. But there was a lot of that job was interesting because there were a lot of like new experiences in terms of like just people that I had not met the type of people that I met there before, or at least I had not really hung out with them or interacted.
Spent time with them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I saw sort of a different kind of culture that I had. And I think sort of since I haven't really interacted with. And it was interesting. I feel like it kind of broadened my scope,
yeah.
as it were.
What were some of the like part-time jobs that you maybe never had but always wanted?
Well, I always
were there any like holy grails other than Suncoast?
Yeah, I. yeah, Well, like I said, I worked at the video store. That was the one that I still wanted, but I never felt like I really, like I worked there, but it never, I felt like it didn't actually happen the way I wanted it to, you know, so I almost don't count it. Mm-hmm. The only other, because I got to work at a video game store, I got to deliver pizzas. I think the only, I didn't get the Suncoast job. But the only other one that I never got, and I think it was because by the time I could have probably gotten it, I knew better. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, this won't be what I want it to be. And that was working at a comic shop.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what I wanted that experience to be. Yeah. And by that point, I'd worked at Funko Land, you know, and at the video store. And I was like, this isn't going to pay off the way that I think it will.
Unfortunately. I think the only one that may have panned out for me in a way that I would have liked it to would be working in a movie theater.
Oh,
yeah. That's one thing I never got to do. But I think it would probably depend on, one, it would depend on the time, because, you know, like, which movies are coming out.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference. And then I think, I totally think that's the kind of place where, like, it really is all about your coworkers.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, at one point I thought that would be cool. But then, you know, the theaters around to work at, I was like, I don't really want to work.
Yeah.
I think it was much clearer to me with that scenario that it wouldn't be fun the way that you would want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, it's not as though you're going to be working in the theater while the movie's playing.
Yeah.
You're going to be, you know, at the concession stand or in the box office.
And then you're going to see people come in, like friends and stuff, and they're going to go into the movies, and you're going to be like, I have to stand out here.
Exactly.
Continue filling soda cups.
Now, working at so fast forward to today, and, like, working at a place like the High Point or something, that I could see being a cool experience.
Cool. Yeah.
Because it's much more kind of condensed version of that, where there's not, like, 50 employees and 14 theaters. It's just the one.
Statistically, you're gonna have more actual interaction with people.
And having gone there enough at this point to, like, get a sense for some of the clientele that would show up, like, it could be pretty fun to watch stuff happen, because I've seen things happen there. And that's a pretty good experience on its own. Right.
Yeah.
You worked at a comic shop.
I did. I talked a little bit about that in the comics episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything, like, what about working in a comic shop does no one realize as part of the gig? Like, what's something that you wouldn't think of or would seem like it's going to be great, but in the end is actually kind of crappy?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, and maybe this is because I had recently watched the Kevin Smith Secret Stash show on AMC, Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
Which, like, the only, like, running thread throughout that show, other than the fact that they podcast and talk about it, is that they're always having people come in trying to sell them stuff. You know, they're like, oh, I found this thing. You know, how much do you think it's worth? Yeah. Will you buy it? Right. So, and that's the kind of thing, like, when I would go into comic book shops and I would see all these old toys that were really awesome, old G.I. Joe things and stuff. And I think, oh, man, it'd be awesome to hang out around this stuff and, like, have people bringing stuff in, being like, do you want to buy this?
Yeah.
And the sad truth is that kind of stuff gets traded, you know, like, after hours, behind closed doors, you know, like... Like, that's the kind of thing where somebody calls the owner and he's like, hey, I've got the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier in my house. Do you want to come look at it and potentially buy it? So you never, like, the people who bring stuff in are always, you know, they're like, hey, I've got this antique Star Trek toy and it's like, you know, from 1996, you know, or something.
It's and it's like, in pieces.
Yeah. So that antique. was... That was somewhat disappointing. But there was, on the flip side of that, the redeeming side of that was that we had access to all of this complete junk.
Yeah.
And we could pretty much do with it what we wanted to.
Oh, nice.
So I went through like some pretty frustrating points in my life, like while I was working at the comic shop. And we used to, my friend Jake and I, we had this, we had all these schemes to like alleviate all of the tension, you know, like if either of us was feeling down, the other one would be like, all right, time to play Hulk bowling. And so we would take this like giant Hulk action figure, stick him in the front of the store, and then take the Borg sphere.
Oh, like, man.
Plastic,
nice.
Indestructible hunk of plastic.
Oh, wow.
Modeled after the Borg sphere.
Yeah.
And we would hold it, and then we would bowl with it, roll it towards
that's excellent.
The Incredible Hulk and try to knock him over. Or it went, like in the later years when we got really frustrated, we would take a hammer outside and just try to beat the Borg sphere.
Wow. Was it that resilient?
It was that, man, we like threw that thing on parking curbs.
Resistance
we ran
is
it
futile.
Into the side of the building. We could never get that thing to break.
Man.
For like 4 years, we tried breaking
that's
that thing.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Indestructible. Yeah.
So generally in the battle between the Borg sphere and the Incredible Hulk, was the Borg sphere generally the victor?
Oh yeah, yeah. If the Borg sphere ever hit the Hulk, Hulk was down. Hulk goes down.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I went to work for the man.
Yeah.
Full time.
Yeah. I had a brief stint with the man before Papa John's, mm-hmm. but after Papa John's, I went to work for the man full time. Now I don't. I left the man.
That's right. You're anti-man.
Yeah, I'm anti-man now.
I can You're get not that. Part-time or full-time.
I
You're...
can get that job at Papa John's again if I want.
We should do that. We should all go get part-time jobs.
All right. Let's clock out again.
My veto, man.
It's only 9 o'clock. I mean, you sure you want to do that,
Mark? Listening to this crap is guaranteed to make you sterile.
Yeah, maybe I want to be sterile.